The voice of one crying the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. The voice of one crying the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. The voice of one crying.
Can we pray and ask the Lord to open our eyes, our hearts, our minds by his power? Do that which only you can do. You are able, Father. You are able to do exceeding abundantly, more than we can ask for or imagine. Give us light tonight. Give us light. Give us light, Jesus. Give us light. Give us mercy. Ask for his words to flow like a river. I'd like for us to go to the book of James. We start from the very first verse. James chapter 1. Verse 1 says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes of the dispersion, greetings. Introduces himself as a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. And his communication is to the 12 tribes scattered abroad in the King James. The 12 tribes represent the church of God. In a sense, the book of James was written to Hebrews. But in another sense, we know that they are called our ancestors in the things of the Spirit. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the first verse, or in Romans chapter 7. It's presumed that we know their history. 1 Corinthians 10:1 says, I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that our forefathers were all under the cloud and that they all passed through the sea. In verse 2, it clarifies who he's talking about. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. In the same way we, so I'm explaining, if they are called our forefathers, and then you look at chapter 7, Romans chapter 7, the first verse, and it says, do you not know, brothers, for I am speaking to those who know the law. Now, we know a synonym for the law is Moses. Moses is a synonym for the law. And the scripture says the law. It says Moses. It's the same. Moses says, or the law says. So if they were baptized unto Moses, it would mean that they were baptized into the law. And it, again, states differently. I'm speaking to those who know the law. You know our forefathers. You know the law. You know Moses. We are meant to know Moses. Moses was from one of these 12 tribes and was chosen as a prophet, speaking for God and being the one chosen to deliver the law of God to his people. But Hebrews chapter 1, the first verse and the second. Hebrews 1 verse 1 and 2 says, on many past occasions and in many different ways, God spoke to our fathers through the prophets. That would include Moses and others, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Micah, Zechariah, on many past occasions. And we just saw an example. He spoke through the cloud. He spoke through the Red Sea. He spoke at the Mount Sinai. He spoke in the wilderness. He spoke in Egypt. He spoke to and through David. He spoke through the temple. He spoke through the priesthood. We saw that in the book of Romans chapter 9, the fourth verse. God speaks, and he speaks through different ways on many past occasions, not a few occasions, in many different ways, including the oracles that Moses received. God spoke to our fathers. He spoke through the prophets. He has a right to speak. The second verse says, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. Through whom? He made the worlds. And the real question that follows is, what is he saying to us now? What is he saying to his people? What's distinct? When he spoke through Jesus, is it like some say that he set aside everything he said before? No. How do we know? Because Jesus told this story in a parable. Can you remember? A certain man had a vineyard he planted, and he sent servants to ask for an account to be made. And later on, he sent his son. Did that trash everything the previous messengers had done? Did he say, hey, you know, I didn't send those first people, or ignore what the first people that came said? They just built on it. It was the law of witnesses. He sent multiple witnesses to prove irrefutably that I've given you guys a chance to be accountable. And that's what happens. He comes in there and, yes, can you give account? And they say, hey, go away. But let's just kill the son so we can take the whole thing. Jesus interpreted this. He appointed his son heir of all things. And they said exactly that. Remember in the parable? This is the heir. If we kill him, we can own the vineyard. So even though they beat some servants and stoned some and mistreated them badly, but this one, if we kill, we delete the competition. And they killed him. You know the story. Jesus told it before they killed him. They listened to it and went like, what nonsense are you talking? Then fulfilled it to the letter. Which is what happens when people do not believe that what they are hearing can apply to them. They end up fulfilling it. Unbelief is the reason you fulfill evil prophecy. Unbelief. It's not the reason you fulfill evil prophecy. Other than you didn't believe. Believe it when it was said. When you heard it, you wonder, can't happen to me. If you believed it could happen to you, you take precautions. You put things in place. You take steps. Yes? You bumble along. So that what were they saying? What? Fire? Whatever. It just goes straight into it. Or you pause and pay attention. What did they say? They said what? They said something might happen. Oh dear me. What do we do? Oh dear me. So is there another route? Can it be avoided? And it'd be good to ask the person that told you. Or where they got the information from. Then you seek understanding and God will help you. Alright, so, and that's for good or bad prophecy. If it's a good thing and you don't prepare at all, you take it for granted. You are the chosen generation. Doesn't mean it's going to happen as you wish. Many people have had good things said about them. It never came to pass. What happened? What did you do? I saw you. You were doing well in school. You had all A's. Why are you not going to class? I don't need to. Don't worry. Some of us have a special call. I have something you know not of. You fell splendidly. A, you be wondered, is it F or A you said? Okay. The Lord Jesus did not come to throw away what the earlier messenger said. He came to confirm it. He said it himself in the book of Matthew chapter 5. Verse 17. Do not think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I didn't come to abolish the law. I did not come to abolish what the prophets said. I didn't come after them to come and say, hey, everyone, forget. You heard all that stuff Moses was saying, Elijah and all that. Just forget it. This is the mouth of the Son who came. What do you want? In spite of the clarity of this language, people have said this. And people have believed them after they said it. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. How? Like the parable, like Hebrews 1 and 2, like any other proof in the Bible, you use the scriptures, you seek more understanding from the scriptures. I came to say, excuse me, my Father says you guys should give an account for the vineyard. Where's the fruits? Where's the fruits? What have you guys been doing all these years of planting and overseeing it? You sit in the seat of Moses. Where's the result of your authority? Where's the result of your leadership? You guys have sat here. Where's the fruits? Where are people who fear God? Where are the God-fearing men in this land of Israel? And they couldn't find. There's so few. Almost none. All right, let's give them a chance. Repent. The kingdom of God is at hand. Change how you think. Come around. You need to make adjustments. You guys are not going the right direction. You're thinking wrong. You're thinking wrong. You're thinking wrong. You need to change how you think. Metaneo. Repent. Change how you think. You're headed the wrong way. And they went to the forerunner, the friend of the bridegroom, John Baptist. How do we repent? What are you talking about? In how you handle material things. Your attachment to material things is too serious. You have two shirts. Someone has none. What on earth? Give him one. Why are you so attached to material things? You, Mr. Soldier Man, you're asking how you should repent. Be contented with your salary and stop extorting people. Oh yeah, when they pay you, manage that one. You, Mr. Tax Collector, so-called government representative going around taking the things that is used to build society. Do not overtax anybody. Material things, material things, material things. That's all. He spoke to three classes of people, and all of it had to do with their relationship to material things. Because your relationship with material things is a proof of where your heart is. Luke chapter 12. Where man's heart is, that's where his treasure is. Luke 12:34. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So your heart is in the shirt, is in the money you get from people, is in the tax you collect. Your heart should not be there. So what does he say in verse 33? Sell your possessions and give to poor. Start from verse 32. He says, don't be afraid, little flock, for your Father is pleased to give you the kingdom. Remember, he was announcing, change how you think. The kingdom is at hand. And by the way, that kingdom is for you. Little flock, not massive crowd. Little flock. For those who love massive crowds, get ready to be locked out of the kingdom. Little flock, small group. John chapter 10. I have other sheep apart from this fold. I will go and bring them also. Go out into all the world, make disciples. Those disciples comprise the flock of God. Who was his flock before? Israel. Israel. We saw how they began as 70 when they moved to Egypt. A picture of the world. 70. That's the number. Now they became a mighty group. But there they were. They were 70 of them. The Lord always starts little. Then he grows big. But he wants, he's saying, even this small group, don't be afraid. Why would you be afraid? You'll be afraid because you're thinking, this kingdom, can we make it? And we are too few. He says, don't worry. It's a little flock. Remember, he divided them to sheep and goats. In Matthew 25, divided from verse 31. Don't be afraid. The Father wants to give you. He's pleased to give you. No, I think the Father wants to block us all out. It seems his standards are too high. No, drop that fear. Stop having that fear. He wants to give you. And then why does it sound like I can't do it? You can't. He can. So what do you do? What do sheep do anywhere? Why did he call you little flock? Not little dogs, little lions. Why didn't he tickle you with fancy names? My tigers. He didn't call you any of that. He called you a flock. So you have flock sense. What do flocks do? They flock. One, they stay close to each other. Number two, they follow the shepherd. That's what they are known for doing. That's what flocks do. Sheep, masters, shepherds, they go ahead and they follow. The master stops, they stop. He takes them to still waters. They drink. He comes away from it. He calls on them. They know his voice. I told you, every shepherd in those days, they have a sound. It's not talking normal talk. No, they have sounds or songs. Da ta da ta da ta da ta da ta da. All the sheep go that way. The other shepherd, you know, someone saw 2-3 shepherds come to a watering hole in these places are dry places in the Middle East. Water is not, you guys don't know the meaning of lack of water. The north is a little like how the Middle East is. Dry water is gold. Big deal. And he saw all the sheep come, looking alike, mixing, and he was shocked. How will these people know their sheep? After they have drunk the water, like animals, you know, struggling. And then the three shepherds walked in three different directions and started making different sounds. He said the sheep started acting like, you know, struggling, each in the direction of the sounds, till they all separated. And it was back to how it was before they mixed. And that's what he meant when he said, my sheep know my voice. Some people hear that. I've heard preachers, teachers, read it. And they'll write there, every child of God knows the voice of God. And am I slightly irritated or hugely irritated? I'm quite annoyed. All I'm wondering is like, excuse me, sir, you wrote a book. You should have known Jesus long enough to not say things. Now, once you're a child of God, you know God. Stop it. So 1 John chapter 4 verse 1 that says, beloved, test the spirits to know whether it's of God, was written for what? So everybody knows God's voice clearly and easily at once. I have one simple question for you. You mean you that wrote this thing now? You've always known perfectly clearly anything God wants. It's only you I'm asking. Leave others. Who is the person here? You've always known. Once God speaks, you know. All your, it's so clear. Like once you got born again, just, here's John. You say, yes, Pop. Whose favorite prayer is, Lord, speak clearly, Lord, clarity, Lord, give me that. That's Christianity, that's the one I know. I don't know all these books people write to. So once you're a child of God, you know, the Bible says that you read something, things have interpretation. What does it mean? What did it mean when he said that? Because you have yourself as evidence of what it means too. You should, if you're born again, and you have other brethren. Why on earth do you pray and say, Lord, clarity? What was Jesus sweating blood doing? Who can tell me why Jesus was sweating blood? He wanted money for food. He needed clarity, Lord, please. Can this cup pass? I just want it to be clear. You meant like die, die. Cross, die. He prayed for hours. Came and begged his people he led to himself. Pray with me now. Because the hardest thing many times is that. So what did he mean? Could he have meant that it's just, no, once God speaks, I'm sure. No, it is not. That's not what he meant. What he meant is that when you grow as sheep, when you have formed a habit from when you were young, listening. Now, who knows how small sheep, we've talked about it, I know many times. Small sheep do not know the voice of the shepherd. They know the voice of their mother. Those small ones that go, meh. They know the voice of their mother. And you see their mother go, nah, nah, nah. Go after them. And then they follow. And pretend it was an invitation to feed. That's what happens. Wait. So in your early walk with God, you're not even sheep. You're a lamb. You're a lamb. He told Peter, feed my lamb. So you follow the older sheep. The ones that have matured a bit. The ones that help birth you. Then, because God uses people to birth people, he uses sheep to birth lambs. All this, no, I came straight from God. You didn't do anything of the sort. The shepherd did not give birth to a sheep. Shepherds do not give birth to sheep. Sheep give birth to sheep. That's why all that sitting. When God wants to touch them, they will touch. Have you noticed people usually don't get touched till you talk to them? Who has noticed that when you preach to people, that seems to be when they get born again? Who noticed this thing? Who has ever hoped someone will just come to know God? Who has noticed that usually after you talk to them that they now know God? Who has led someone to Christ here before? They cried when you were leading them. Anybody? Tear, water works were involved. You had known them for a long time. You wish you had spoken to them earlier. Anybody? You wish you had earlier. You wish you had spoken to more. Because it is sheep that give birth to sheep. In between that, be there sitting there and saying, where is the shepherd really want me? So you think there's a reason the shepherd, you don't know why the shepherd said, go into the, all the world. Why didn't he say, I am going to the world. Wait, I'm coming. I'm bringing them for you to take. Bring them. He said it in John 10. Pass others in another flock. He was referring to the Gentile flock. There's a Jewish flock. There's a Gentile flock. Is this okay? Is all this verse 1? Dear God. You bring sheep to the shepherd. You know his voice from watching the older ones obey his voice. You notice they start moving. So you join them and move. You join them to move. You don't say, no, when he speaks, I'll hear. I've seen younger Christians do that. You tell them, what are you doing? I went to them, why were you not in the church meeting? No, I was just waiting on God to speak to me about some things. You didn't hear there's a meeting? Yeah, I know, but you know, as a child of God, you know, you have to have time to. What's a belt? That's how that nonsense happens. I just thought maybe that maybe I spend this time. Okay, so what we are doing there is jamboree. You're waiting on the Lord. Is it the same Lord, yeah? You shall follow the matureship. That's how you learn. If you take notes of in your life, you see the major times you learn were times when the flock moved. When the trumpet sounded, and the camps moved. They blew the trumpets. The heads of the tribes signaled and they moved. That's how you travel in the wilderness. And for those who don't know, we are in the wilderness. We've been since Jesus left. Forty jubilees. Divided by 50. 40 jubilees. 40 years. Jubilee is 50 years. 2000 divided by 50 is 40. So the church has been on its wilderness journey. We are heading towards the promised land. We are approaching the end. We have about one more jubilee. 51 years. So 2025. Well, we have like one more jubilee. That's where we've been. That's where we are. As far as I understand. That's where we are now. So in that wilderness, you move. When the cloud moves, you move. You don't sit down, say everybody's packing up their tent. Just like now, we are moving. Like very strongly. It's why we are here. The Lord told us to transition. Then you sit down and say, well, you know, I'm working on, you know, God speaks to me too. No, usually, don't worry, I'll come. I'll join. You know, I usually know when God is. That's how people stay stunted for a very long time. Moving, growing at the pace of 1 year. 4 years for you is 1 year. 4 years is 1 year. 4 years is 1 year. So I've grown much faster. You're supposed to progress a bit more actively. And you will do it so much better if you're watching and learning. Everything on earth, you learn it faster when you're watching and learning. Have you noticed? Who learns how to use computer stuff or design graphic stuff or anything at all? You notice if you're around those who do it, that's how you learn. Notice no more how much you desire to know something. If you're not around those doing it, you learn very slowly. And it is what it is. It's exactly how discipleship works. Discipleship, by its nature, is putting you with a flock, with a group who are responding to the voice. And you're watching a group of people being led by God, speaking prophetically, hearing God. Multiple, like in this house, multiple people have had visions and revelations of examinations. We're having a flood of revelations on examinations. It's a river. Exams. That means testing is here. People are being tested for now. You know what happens after examination? It's promotion or demotion or resignation. You stay in the same place. That's what happens with exams. People pass or fail. That's where we are. People are being tested. It means you'll be tested. How are you tested? Tested and observed. Something will happen that will challenge you. You face challenges. Question number one, number two, number three, number four. Those challenges are the things that are supposed to decide what you do, where you go next. Now, if you miss your examination, you know that's a fail. If you are in the examination and you don't write well, if you are in the exam and you fail, or you are disqualified, and so on. People have seen every permutation. And in the process of us seeing these things, here and there explanations will come up. The leadership will say something. The leaders in this house, as God gives understanding, as you pray for them, as they pray, as they further exploit their previous relationship with God, they bring understanding. It's the job of the priest, the teaching priest, and the Levites to bring understanding of the things that are being said as the tabernacle, book of Ezra. Amen. They bring understanding. They bring insight. This is what this means. This, as you listen, lamb, you learn to understand the voice. You hear someone give an interpretation of a dream they had. You go like, oh, maybe that's what my dream meant. Has this happened to anybody? You heard someone share visions and you hear an interpretation. Oh, that's how lambs learn from sheep. Who learn from the shepherd? That's how you fast track your education. Any other way is a retarded way. So you look at the person 5 years later. You're like where you should have been in your seventh month, if you were with a flock. Because you're doing this solo thing, which you think is brilliant, but which is not brilliant because it's not scriptural. Discipleship is the model, not personal slogging it out. God, on many past occasions, in many different ways, spoke to our fathers through the prophets. In these last days, he has spoken to us by his son. And this son is the one that told Peter, if you love me, feed my sheep. If you love me, tend my lambs. If you love me, feed my lambs. If you love me, next verse, John 21 verse 15. The second time, shepherd my sheep. That's the expression I was looking for. Then he said, feed my sheep. So it starts with take care of the lambs, tend them. And he says, shepherd the sheep. BSB differentiates it. I like it says it differently, you know, because those words are slightly different. First time, tend my lambs. Second time, feed my lambs, shepherd my sheep, and then feed my sheep. Why did he say lambs first? Lambs are the small ones. Take care of the young ones. Feed them. They need to grow. Second one, shepherd. The word shepherd speaks of leadership. Probaton. Shepherding. Poimen. Jesus is the archpoimen. The chief shepherd. That's how it says in 1 Peter. Archpoimen. He is the one who shepherds. He leads. So he goes before us. He walks ahead of us. Yes, it's part of his duty to give us food or lead us to where there's food. But the shepherding is not just eating. Do you understand? The shepherding is going ahead of. The Lord is my shepherd. He leads me. So the leading is the shepherding. In the process of being led, you will find pasture and food. And he says in John chapter 10, he says, I go out before them. Give me John chapter 10 from verse 1. Thank you, Jesus. This is what Jesus said Peter the apostle should do. If you love me, he told him, shepherd. So every apostolic ministry that does not recognize shepherding, you're going to have to explain. It's leadership that apostles provide. That's their job. Truly, truly, I tell you, whoever does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in some other way, is a thief and a robber. But the one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. You came in legally through the door. You didn't sneak. You came in frontally. The gatekeeper opens the gate for the shepherd. The gatekeeper. The gatekeeper. He who keeps Israel does not stumble or sleep. God gives access to shepherds. Are you listening? I want you to see it. God gives access to shepherds. God gives access to legitimate shepherds, not criminals and crooks. God will give access. He will open the gate for them. He'll give access. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors. Let the King of glory come in. That gate is not the gate of hell at all. So what happened? Many Christians concluded, once you had gates, you had hell. No. The scriptures tell you. It says the King of glory is to come in. It's the Lord strong and mighty in battle. It's the gates that the righteous enter. You remember that? This is the gate that the righteous enters. They are ancient doors. They are not gates to hell. He wasn't going to where Satan was to beat him. He was going to his father. He was entering the house of the Lord. He was entering the presence of his God. Gates for the righteous. It's not, everything darkness. No. Gates of light. Okay? Psalm 118. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. Jesus is the righteous one. All right. So this gate is open to shepherds that are legitimate. The other one is Psalm 24. Lift up your head so you get. You can read the whole chapter. He says it more than once. You know, so he opens up, the gatekeeper opens it for him. And the sheep listen for his voice. Listening for his voice is a deliberate thing. That is that thing I said, where you're asking Lord, speak to me. Are you hearing? He says, it's not like, oh, I just know. Mm-mm. They say, do you remember when he said, who is that good and faithful servant that does so, so and so? And he said, the master, he puts his dress for service and waits, has his lights burning and his belt girded, waiting for his master when he returns. Have you seen that? Yes, that's how sheep in the kingdom behave. It's not something, I know that's my Lord. I can never miss his voice. A demon will talk to you like it has spoken to many. You can't look at all the wonderful servants of God in the earth and the terrible mistakes they make, and you don't know that there are voices other than voices, and that they ignored the Apostle John when he said, test the spirit. He said, beloved, test the spirit. And they went like, I'm beloved. No need to test. No demon can deceive me. That the moment you believe that, you are deceived. In the realm of the spirit, there are many voices. All of them have significance. So you're careful. Who is that? He said, test all things. He didn't test. Just run with it. So we fall into demonic deception because, you remember the dragon? Well, he didn't call him the dragon, but he said he had horns like a lamb, but he spoke with the voice of a dragon. In the book of Revelation, the Antichrist spirit, the false spirit, it looks like the lamb, pretends to be the lamb. But when he opens his mouth, how you know it's the devil? You test by the words. The words do not align with the law of God. Then you know, hey, there's a message called Dragon Speak from last day's deception, and just some weeks ago I spoke another message that had to do with this. You have to know that he looks like a lamb, Revelation 13:11, but speaks like a dragon. You watch his speech, you test the words. The Bible says you test words like you taste food, book of Proverbs. You test words like you taste food. So anyone that tells you, hey, open your mouth, are you doubting me? Swallow. Tell them, no, my Lord said I should substitute, not test all things, but taste all things. Come on, because that's how you test words. So you take the words that I said. Compare spiritual with spiritual. Give me a moment. I'll get back to you tomorrow. I need to test the words. Test it! Stop apologizing for being careful. Even if it's an urgent thing you need to respond to. Can you give me a moment? Let's just pray. Father, I ask you. This is you. Lead, instruct. Care to test it. That is why you have to know those who labor among you. You watch them. After a while, you don't. No. They test things before they serve me. But when you're around people who, this time they are right, next time they are wrong, out of every 5 times they say something, 3 times they are wrong, 2 times they are right. Back, forth, back, forth, back, forth. Don't you know they are hearing many voices? Are you understanding what's happening there? Oh, if I be a man of God, it shall come to pass. It didn't come to pass. Oh, if I be a man of God, it shall come to pass. It came to pass. Many voices. And this person does not test. He just runs. He is like running a spiritual tabloid. News is news. So anything, I'll just declare. And in the process, you become a false prophet. You have to test. It's Job. It's not Psalms. Proverbs, sorry. Job 34, verse 3. For the ear tests words as the mouth tastes food. Job 34, verse 3. So, I want you to understand that if you don't taste what you hear, but with your ears, with the word of God, with your spiritual tongue, you know how you taste. How many of you have made food and you go to someone and say, is there too much salt? That's testing. It doesn't have to be you who tested. Some of you have no. You have spiritual COVID. You cannot taste anything. So that's the truth. Let's just be honest, okay? You came to gospel house. Honesty is our best policy. Okay? Some of you cannot test nothing. You cannot be trusted to tell. Every time I said, let me watch you test it, you goofed. Your conclusion has been proven successfully to be wrong multiple times. Know yourself. That doesn't mean you can't test things. That means you go to those who are good at testing, who understands this. You don't want to understand it. Your pride will not agree. You want me to start asking? You're here. People have told you, it seems you usually miss it. Once you want me to make them raise hands. Raise hands, ask for the name of the person. You can answer me. Don't try me. Now, let me say it again. I said, it is legally allowed, spiritually, to go to someone and say, is there too much salt? Nobody ever got angry and said, a good cook always knows how something tastes. That's not true. Is it salty? Why? Because sometimes you've been tasting so many things that your tongue is mad. Literally, there's something sometimes they have to chew on to help clean the tongue. To restore sensitivity. A good chef knows this. That is why as I am here. So again, God has helped led me a lot of my life very well, accurately, specifically. But I habitually present things I get for testing as a lifestyle. As a lifestyle, I present things for testing. I give it for prayer. I present it for discussion. I put it out amongst people that fear the Lord and love the Lord. I place it before them. People I led to Christ filled in the Holy Ghost, all of that, I put it in front of them. I know tiny people, tiny, spiritually, they are tiny. No, how? Are you saying I don't hear God? Obviously. Sorry, you didn't want to answer. Sorry, I thought it was a question. You're so full of pride that you swallow lion, swallow bear, swallow everything. You won't have, because your taste buds are bad. Wise people test things, and nobody said you have to be the one to conclude whether it's right or wrong. That's what sheep do. That's what the beloved should do. Put it before others. What do you think? Again, know those who labor amongst you. Recognize wise men. Paul asked in 1 Corinthians 6, you have no wise men amongst you. You can't judge the matter. The word judge is test, examine. You can't judge. You have no wise men amongst you. You know why people blunder a lot? No testing, no examination, no analysis, no investigation. You just bumble on. The word test, translated examination, examine in the back, is the word to investigate. You have to investigate things. Don't allow star power. especially for someone you're not sure, but the thing sounds as though it's not scriptural. But if someone has been proven over and over again to be spiritually accurate, except you feel, is this correct this time? Then test it generally. Oh, no, this is, these people, you know how a certain company or factory have very high standards of for processing? You must recognize such spiritual companies. You must. Look at Samuel telling Saul, when you leave here, you're going to meet a company of prophets. These ones are going to be a couple of loaves of bread. They will give you this. This ones will be this. This one will be a bottle of wine. Did you read that thing? Was Samuel with them? Did he call them and tell them what to do? Dear God, Saul, what do you need to know that when Samuel talks, you say, yes, sir, in spite of that? You know the story. What do you think all that drama was from? You couldn't Samuel organize the loaf of bread and wine for him? No. Apart from the prophetic significance, the Lord is trying to say, this one I have called to appoint you. I sent him. He's confirming sign after sign. And don't worry, your father's donkeys have been found. When you go home, everything came to pass. In other words, if Samuel shows up even to tell you something strong, go and deal with the Amalekites, you should obey. Don't stand and say, well, you know, I'm going to need to test. Test what? Except he told you something unscriptural. Okay, I need you to go and murder your wife. Then you say, wait, Prophet Samuel, come first. I've always trusted your ministry, but sorry, can we take a breathalyzer? Some of you don't understand. In case you've been drinking, let's check you out, sir. I don't understand this kind of thing. So I'm going to test the tester. The situation is problematic, but if normally his words don't fall to the ground, take him seriously. If his handling of scripture, if his communication of prophetic insight tends to be, even if it doesn't apply, maybe the way he's interpreted, but you can't just casually throw it away. God judges people like that. He looks and says, you should have known here now. You couldn't completely disregard it. Multiple times I've spoken through this vessel, I've imparted this. You can't even, Jesus said it this way once. I said, which of you convicts me of sin? In other words, like, what is it you're pointing, what am I guilty of that you're talking about? You're bashing me, you people, in the book of John. About what? Be specific. What's my error that I'm deserving of conviction? They couldn't say anything. Instead, they went in to attack him. And why do you say this? But they couldn't point out his wrong. He was saying, in other words, test me. Prove me wrong. Mark me. If there's nothing you can mark and prove wrong, then what is it? Why are you failing me? Is this clear? So the Lord has spoken to us about seasons of marking and failing people, passing people. One of those visions someone saw. And he said, the examiner said, make sure you're very disciplined. I won't allow any misbehavior and so on. And the examination started. And people were making noise up and down and all sorts of things. And the examiner was standing there talking to someone else. The exam was very rowdy. And the person got up, went and sat at the front, or sat at the middle, because someone was disturbing a friend. One even went out of the hall to go and write the exam in the bush. Every kind of thing. And then when they said, pass your paper, something like that, the person went to the front, saw many brethren. At the front was like, wow, my Christian brethren were here. I didn't know they were here. They were sitting at the front, quiet, well-behaved mostly. And they took the papers and they said, I didn't finish. I have an easy answer here, but I didn't finish. They said, I'll consider it, but they didn't let her write. Took the paper from different people. Then everybody that caused any problem in that exam hall was flogged thoroughly. Some were flogged to death. And what they had been wondering is like, how can this person they said is so strict allow this rowdiness? They didn't know that they had identified every single one. Not one person escaped, which is exactly the nature of God's dealings. It now looks as though you're not accountable. And everybody keeps wondering, if God is not with him, wouldn't he have who? You don't know God. God is what they call long-suffering. I don't know if it's one of his best traits or worst. Do you understand the implication of someone who does not talk and then takes action at the end, at once? The God that says, in the day I visit you, I'll remember Who has read that before? In the day I visit, I'll remember their sin. Who has read that? Don't play with those kind of people. Have you not heard you play with people that are given to change? Don't joke with God or the king. Don't treat lightly his instructions or his injunction. On the day I settle accounts, I will punish them for their sins. I like how BSB says it there. Exodus 32, 34. He calls it the day he settles accounts. So that's an aspect of God. Many people are unaware of. They presume, if God was angry with me, he will handle it at once. Who told you? You know, my job is to teach you Jesus. You are wrong. Say, no, God is not offended at me. Who told you? What you did it break the law of God? Yes or no? If it broke the law of God, he's not pleased with you. It doesn't mean he has rejected you or thrown you away. You're his people. No. But that doesn't mean, no. I hate this idea of you implying that something may be waiting or loading. My brother, my sister. Something is loading for everybody on earth from Adam. What's your problem? It has been loading since. You think Adam has been judged? No. On judgment day, Adam is going to stand. They will judge Adam. I thought in the Bible that time that they removed him from the garden. I've told you they didn't remove Adam from the garden because God was displeased that he ate the fruit. The Bible tells you why they removed him from the garden. God wasn't like, how dare you? Nonsense. Get out of my garden. Get out. You not eat again. That's not why they removed Adam from the garden. God would have left him in that garden to eat till the fruit finished and death caught up with it. The one reason they removed him from the garden is that they don't want him to touch the tree of life, which happened to be in the same garden. They will not uproot the tree because of you. That's why they had to shift him. Adam shift. Who knows? He might have been plucking the fruit around the fringes of the garden because they placed cherubim around it. So that's why they, give me verse 23. Genesis 3, 22, 23. So he won't reach out his hand. Therefore, the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to walk the ground from which he had been taken. Since you want to obey your flesh, he's there. Go and dig your flesh. Produce from that. God planted that garden. It was his garden. I just gave it to you. But since what I gave you is not good, go and do your own. But again, in your mind, he went and suffered alone. No, God was still with him. God loved him. We don't have everything on record, but we know. Why? Because they had two grown-up sons that God would talk to. Cain didn't say, who is that? Who is speaking? When God spoke to him and said, Cain, why is your face like this now? So the Lord still came to them. Okay? We read many things into scriptures that are not there. When God disciplines you, it doesn't mean he throws you away. No. You can be having dreams, revelations, all sorts of things, prophetic words, everything. I'm saying Adam has not been judged. That was just a short-term measure to prevent greater disaster. Sometimes what you think is God's punishment is just a short-term measure to prevent greater disaster, to prevent you from getting into greater trouble or causing greater trouble. Oh, you did something, they caught you, the embarrassment, you wanted to die. You're like, Kai, I've been punished. No. You're being prevented from causing greater trouble. That's why they caught you, so you can't do it again. And of course, it will reduce the discipline you may get because you have been caught. Now, if you do more, if you did one, you may be disciplined. If you do two, you may be disciplined twice. If you do five. So he has helped you hold yourself. That doesn't necessarily mean that matter is resolved. On the day of judgment, when men give account for the things you've done, yes, bear, stand. On the 23rd day of you, what? Give account. Lord, that day I was so weak. Yes. Did I give you strength? Yes. Didn't you have the Holy Spirit? Yes. Is this the strength wherein, the refreshing wherein I said I'll refresh you? Okay. Yeah. Do you read that scripture, Isaiah 28, that said, but you would not? Yeah, I didn't know that's what that place meant. Why didn't you attend a good church? Give me Isaiah 28. You saw it yesterday. Stammering lips. The next one. I didn't read the last line. I wanted us to be happy. You know these verses that say things? Said with stammering. Do you remember we read yesterday? Stammering lips and a foreign tongue. I'll speak to these people. But verse 12 said, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing. Read. Yeah, they would not hear. So there's a refreshing. But when you don't hear. So what's the refreshing? Stammering lips and our tongue. Lambo shake tele gebe gebe gabuga daga daga bashaka talaba. Father, I'm so weak. God, temptation is so strong. Who has noticed darkness does not seem to light tongues? This thing, your prayer, I don't even know what you're praying. Me, I'm going. Someone that came to tempt you. Talk your nonsense there. Me, I'm gone. Kenda, shingo. God is like, I gave you strength. You refuse to use it. I give you Christian strength. He's called the Holy Spirit. Power from on high. We don't use the Holy Spirit. In the season we are entering, we will use the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Oh, we will allow His services to run in our life steady. Yeah. Every day you're praying for electricity. The one you have inside, you won't own it. We are always looking for what is hard. The one you control, you're not there. Why doesn't government fix road? Fix your own internal road. Manage your own life. Stop looking for who to blame. Huh? This is where we are. This is when we are. This is when we are. He gave us strength. So God has this presumption that we have enough strength to overcome all temptation. Huh? Huh? That's God's mindset, that I gave you everything that pertains to life and godliness. So this story about, you don't know what happened to me. What are you talking about? Jesus was in always tempted as we are, yet without sin. You say, I'm so tempted, I had to sin. Stop it. That you're tempted does not mean you should sin. It has nothing to do with sinning. Temptation is doing its own job. You sinning, that's a completely different business. No, now, is it not the same? It's not the same. There's temptation. Then there's you, sinning. That's like saying the serpent. Lord, stop. You can't punish me. Stop. Eve, come and stand here. So it's serpent. I saw they will punish three of you. Tempter, Igbaja. Temptee, Gbe. Extended temptee or temptee-two. Yeah, I'm busy telling us about how the tempter. Didn't I flog everybody? All these people saying, it's not me. The dream beat me. God will flog all. Very fair flogging. I didn't see them show any clothes for the serpent. So stop making noise. God gave a little, after I dealt with them. Come on. Yeah. Then he called his children. Man, just come here. Is that how you're going to go? That snake was out. God doesn't say, he disciplined me, he rejected me. He doesn't reject you for what? He's not rejecting you. He's just putting his house in order. Okay? This should make you happy, but also put the fear of God in you. Allow the fear of God stay with you. I don't want to think of it. Can't imagine that someday God will now start calling up to account. That's why there's only one judge, James says. Not me. I don't know how he'll do it, but he'll do it too. I can assure you should pretend everything will come up. I suspect everything may not. Okay, let me say it better. I really hope everything will not come up. Can I take a minute and ponder my own life, please? And ignore you guys completely. I really hope everything will not come up, but it's better to walk around life with that bitter, sweet feeling of God loves me, but it will help you. Instead of acting like nothing day. It's all gone. On the day of accountability, I asked you, what do you think the discussion will be? Oh, no, she's born again. No, the blood. Pastor, who is bringing all these Christians here? An angel said, Lord, you said judgment begins in your house. Me? Why? No, the blood. No. No. Take them away. Where are the unbelievers? Bring them. Bring them. Bring them. And your fake pastor will come and stand. You see what happened to your fake pastors? That deceive you, nonsense. And you said you went to school for sure. Read Bible, you not read. The day of judgment, judgment begins in his house. What are we judging if everything is under the blood? All he sees is blood, blood. No. I've told you what atonement is. Some of you have not heard it. This is atonement, to cover. The word means cover. 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 It didn't say remove. Your brain said no. It means remove. Cover and remove are two different things. As long as you have the body of sin, Romans 7, sin I find within my members, and a law. It's called the law of sin and death, Romans 8. It's there. Then I find myself, while I want to do what is good, in me is a desire to do what is bad. And there's this. He didn't say it's removed. It's never removed till you die. It's in there. That's why all can be tempted. All. This is not for unbelievers. This is for Christians. So what God does to manage us so he can relate with us, because his eyes are too pure to behold sin, he covers it so you can be around him. Other than that, there will be no relationship. Are you understanding? There has to be a covering so I can relate with you. Purity. He creates temporary purity until the price possession, the redemption of your body parts, members, where you are given a new body. So on the day of accountability, they'll remove, not be your blood. Let's look at you. What do you do? Even with all the covering I gave you, the covering gave you access. What were you doing under that covering? Talk to me. Okay, Rolfin. Play the video of this girl's life. What were you doing? See. Bring the canes. The Bible says you'll be beaten according to your behavior. Not that equal everybody. What all this? No, the Bible says the flogging is according to what you deserve. That's the Bible. According to what you deserve. Everyone, according to. So now, what do you do under canopy? Under the canopy. What do you do under the canopy? Because then go come up canopy. You give account for yourself. When it's done, then they give you a new body. That body is anti-sin. That's the body Adam and Eve lost. That's the body that God gave us originally. A non-sin body. An earth that you don't toil to be righteous. Wherein dwells righteousness. That's the promised land on a personal level. It's a body that there's no temptation to sin. Sin is expunged. You're not trying. Let's hope I'll not sin. No. You're not sinning. You're not tempted to sin. For what? You have a supernatural body. There's no death inside it. The sediments of Adam that you collected from him through one man. Romans 5. All died. Sin entered. That body is gone. So the new Adam, the last Adam's body, like Jesus' body, is given to you. That body, after Jesus rose from the dead, that body. That's a body devoid of blood and human fluids, expunged. It doesn't run on bloodlines. It runs on spirit. The spirit of God. That's why you are to be born of the spirit. So it sits inside there. Then when it's time, it fails. Now we have to manage the two. Blood and spirit. That is why when you walk in the spirit, you overcome. You see the two natures. Galatians 6 is at war within us continually. No, me. Your blood nature, your spirit nature. You're an amphibian. That's what we all are. You are an amphibian. You have two realms, earth and divine. So we struggle. So when he says, set your mind on things, Colossians 3, above, not on. Because within you is the nature. So you can go for the wisdom from above or the wisdom from this. Both of them are operating systems. You can uninstall this earthly one, but you can't uninstall it completely. It's still Windows. It's still there. You can't uninstall. You can't come up with, no, there's a certain basic that's it. So even though you've installed multiple apps of the heavenly nature, this one still has, that's why someone can be like John, like Paul, the apostle. Like, you can live so holy that certain temptations almost seem not to exist again. Yes? But if you yield for a while and start reinstalling the other with time, your system may start wanting to glitch and almost crash. Because you've let in earthliness. So people look at people and wonder, how can some people seem so victorious overcoming all this, but some other people seem, what installations do you have apart from the basic in core, what do you call it? BIOS. You know, there's BIOS, then there's the basic software installation type. If you keep updating the system software, keep adding applications, installing this. Oh, recently, during this December, I went and installed purification. Have you installed purification? I added that to my knowledge base. Nowadays, you know, I notice I'm cleaner generally, you know, because you installed new knowledge that you are, and you are applying it. You're running it. You know, you're putting it to practice. Every time you learn something new, every time you start practice something that you installed it, so you buffed up what you had. It's not just, when you get born again, you may have just that basic. But some people from the beginning, what was installed has corruption from the beginning. Started glitching from day one. Low quality, pirated. If you will run the proper software and uninstall all those counterfeit applications and then keep refreshing as required, you'll be fine. Your human nature is still there. But you can look at certain temptations, most temptations, and go there, and walk right past. And some people stare and think and wonder, how could you walk away so easily? You didn't even struggle. There was nothing. And they're like, Jesus was so pure in his installation, and the apostles, whom we are trying to learn from, that they didn't even, it's not like you're going to come bring him money and they go like, let me pray about it. But Balaam's installation, do you mean Balaam? Remember Balaam? He had prophetic divine installations. He had earthly greed installation. They're running concurrently. Just like many today, running concurrently. How many of you know you can install two of these things on a laptop? Who knows? Ubuntu and Windows at the same time. Like that. So that's how. The human being is a system. The hardware. You can have those two running at the same time. That's how you can be listening to two voices. Is this clear? That's what I meant when I said, you can't just say the sheep, they follow only. No. They hear from the wisdom from beneath, which is driven by selfish ambition and envy. James 3. They hear from the one above. That's how a servant of God stands up and comes. We've seen it happen many times. I preach things and then someone says, I heard another pastor preach it. And they tell me about what they preach. Who has heard those things? And they're saying the same thing, but it's corrupted. The same passage, preached on the same day. They too, they received it. When the memo went out in the spirit, boom, to the spirit, they said, drop these letters with pastor, scrolls. Boom. I got my own, read it through the system software that runs in me. Normally, I have uninstalled greed. So one pastor has uninstalled greed, money-making opportunity, uninstalled selfish ambition, uninstalled... You know, a few things. Then get this information. What does the passage say? That you should offer sacrifices. Like one happened some months ago. And I got this thing about what sacrifices. Some revelation I shared about sacrifices. And I finished teaching about it, talking about it without taking a single offering. Who remembers something about, I can't remember. What was it about? Huh? Sacrifice, but what? There was something, it was, it's classic, it's a basis on which everybody should have brought a special offering, mega special offering. I didn't even mention offering. All was spiritual. All the interpretation was spiritual. I was even feeling guilty and saying, God, sorry, I hope I didn't mess it up with my over uninstalled grid, this thing. It was so, now that same word begun by someone, that day, depending on the church group, even a student group like ours, probably not less than 1.5 million would have rolled in based on the power of the Rema on sacrifice and how you must give something, something. All my interpretation was spiritual. The sacrifice was your life. You can't remember. All the sacrifice was your life. I thought about a burnt offering, everything. It ended up being your life. I've been around Pentecostals for a good while, I know. There's no way anybody would have mentioned any of that. Would have just, as many people have gone, sorry, can you loan me? Excuse me, sir, can we do transfer? I've emptied pockets and bank accounts everywhere. That's a function of the apps running in you. That's exactly how it works. So one message goes out, interpretations run through the operating system you're running with the existing installations. The beliefs. I heard this. I read this. Pastor so-and-so said this. You installed. This one said, you installed. This one said. How many of you that sometimes know that sometimes what they call a virus in a system is conflicting software? Who knows that there's software you install, apps you install with another and your everything goes glitchy. That's exactly what happens today. I see people that say, no, it doesn't matter who you listen to. You don't know what you're saying. Sounds intelligent, but you have no clue what you're saying. You're listening to Kumi, you're listening to TB Joshua. Together, you found a way to mix them. And you're saying it with pride, teaching it, and thousands, who knows how many hundreds of thousands of people are following that ministry. Look at that level of free confusion. Look at the level. You turn to this one for this, you turn to this one for this, you turn to this one for this. A popular thing that people do. Yes, no?
Yes, sir.
You select 1, 2, 3, you tick off another. Did you test them all? Aren't you bothered that Paul said he taught them the full gospel? You've come up with, if you don't have teachers that can teach you everything, that you broke the church into pieces and fed, I've taught you on the 12 loaves of bread, 6 on that table of showbread. I've told you that's the 12 tribes of Israel, different people with their different giftings and emphasis. I agree that there's emphasis. But the emphasis is more of seasonal, and their strengths, it's more of, there's a strength given. A strength for what? Is it a teaching strength? Is it that they eat different kinds of food in the different tribes? Or they are called to battle different enemies because they occupy different territories. Listen to me. The 12 tribes were given 12 different territories to occupy. Each of them had to take on enemies in those territories. Have I shown you some of that? Where it says, these ones were given here and they fought this and that. These ones were given here, they fought. I don't want to open it, please. Book of Jude. Judges. They fought. Then some did not conquer their territory at all. They were defeated. Some conquered. Judah conquered. Simeon conquered. Then after Asia. Then not long after that, it was bad with some. You are supposed to benefit from each of their conquered areas. Not that they are each supposed to come up with a different recipe and serving, a different menu and feed you with it. Understand, you're eating from what they have conquered. You're enjoying the victories of the different tribes. This one was sent out into this space. University of Uyo Axis led many people to the Lord, brought the truth to those students, and you are